You're tuned to another episode of the Sod Show Garden Podcast. Anything you hear in today's episode at Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/The Sod Show, and sodshow.com. In my company today is
Potter Wakefield.
Cue the intro music.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sod Show Garden Podcast.
Butter, we've known each other a while at this stage of the game.
Yeah, gosh, what do you reckon?
I don't know. We've been at some wild shenanigan parties together.
I think we both support Arsenal. That's a big link, isn't it? It's a lasting link, I'd say, Peter.
Well, the opening of the conversation before I turned on the microphone was you said to me about Wenger, and I compared it to breaking up with the woman of your dreams.
I think that's how the fans feel. I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm a fan of his. I mean, I suppose it's time for him to go, maybe. But at the same time, I mean, oh, it's sad. It's really sad.
We should probably do garden things
tonight. Yeah, talk about
we should. Yeah.
Okay. I'll stop talking about football.
Okay, I'd rather talk about Arsenal, but my friend Andrew does an Arsenal podcast, and I don't want to tread on his toes. We're paired together for a couple of reasons, but before I get into any of that, what do you do for a living, Butter?
So I'm a garden designer, and we're here on the Gaze Burville trade stand at the Chelsea Flower Show. And I've designed, this is a 10.5 by 11 meter plot on right on Main Avenue, which is exciting. And they commissioned me to design their trade stand for this year. So that was a great thrill and honor.
You've done a lot of work. I say a lot of work, but every time you do something, it's like a cross between here in Midnight Train to Georgia, Aretha Franklin, and then somebody turns around and puts on a little bit of Sam and Dave. To every time that you do something, my head always goes, it's class act. The last one that you did that really caught my fancy was, what's the RHS, the new show, wasn't it?
Chatsworth last year. Well, that was really exciting. We were up at Chatsworth on the inaugural year, so that bottom step for us all, which was really fun. And I created a garden for Belmond, the luxury hotel brand. And it was a dreamy, very wild and English summertime garden. There were very few hard elements in the garden. We had a spiral staircase, which represented one's journey anywhere one felt like going, and then a lot of big mature native hedging plants as our boundary, one boundary, and another boundary was a bit fancier carpinus clipped hedging, and then we just had lots of beautiful wildflowers and meadow like and veg, which represents the sort of Belmont thing.
But you've done the show gardeny stuff, and you tend to do a fair amount of I would categorise, and apologies in maybe how I word this, but display things that, in garden designer terms, it's the difference between what pays the bills and what almost maybe runs you a bit broke. You're a cross between, I think I'll repair a barge and we live the dream, and then I turn around and you're on the front of the Duran Duran yacht doing, my name is Rio, yeah, that one. But do you get what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Have I got that right with you?
Well, I think for me, it is all about the detail. And so I feel I go the extra distance. And that is sometimes I'm stretched to almost breaking. It's true, actually. But I reckon this is what sets me apart, maybe, you know, from someone who cares but doesn't care quite as much as I do. I mean, I think if I have a little bit of an Achilles heel is that I do care a lot about producing the goods for my clients. So, you know, lucky them, I guess.
My mom used to have a thing where she never, ever, one of eight children, but she never walked out the door without looking at herself in the mirror. And she almost had an air of, it's not a money thing, but how she conducted herself, her grace, if you'll allow me call it that, was just a level above. There was an elegance which I can't put it into a bottle and put it on a shelf and go, you should buy five of them. You seem to have that about you which you either have or you haven't. A respect but a class. Does that make sense to you? Do you see yourself as that?
Well, that's almost the kindest thing anyone's ever said to me. So thank you very much. Well, I do think manners are the most important thing that one can have, actually. And yes, presentability, but it's all about making everyone, no matter who they are, feel important and necessary and appreciated. So I am all about, you know, the average man. And so I do really try to make a difference every single day and be kind and courteous to the bus driver who picks me up. And I thank him when I get off the bus. So I think the world needs a bit more of that, if I'm honest. You know, if I'm perfectly honest, I think we just need to appreciate one another. We'd roll along so much more smoothly. And if that's grace and... very kindly put it, elegant or what have you. I don't know, but that's how I do like to kind of conduct myself.
Well, let me translate this then into a landscaping, garden, creating, photosynthetic space. And when you did the one at Chatsworth, I said, yeah, that's got a bit of class. Mm. But it was, let's call it, just to pick one word to describe it, it was, let's say, a wilderness, albeit tamed in part. And on the one you did at Chelsea 2018, you had a lot of stone in it, but the planting, how do I rephrase this? I know people who get their garden, inverted commas, done, and it's a big, massive patio, and it's disproportionate to the planting lawn area, and none of it makes sense. And when you walk in, you say, it's a nice patio. You don't say it's a nice garden. It's the difference between a nice house and a nice home. You did it again, but it's not the same. And hence I'll go back to the Aretha Franklin thing and the Sam and Dave thing all over again. They're non-comparable. One is a love song. One is about the woman of his dreams leaving him. But both of them make you smile and stand back. And that is a thing that either exists in your head when you see a space or... it doesn't. You can't make people feel that way is the point that I make. But you repeatedly seem to get it bang on the money, as in, there's another one, there's another one. And it baffles me. And that's why when I said to you, when I first saw you here on the stand, I actually walked past, I said to you, you've evaded me for a very long time. I don't know how, because I seem to be chasing you. And... now it sounds like I'm going to play teenage kicks and run down the street after you and throw pebbles at your window, but it's not that. But does that make sense to you? I big you up, but it's deserved.
Well, that's so kind. This stand here is very different from my Chatsworth stand, it's true. This is all about showcasing this beautiful product, and it's purposeful. It is a big, expansive, beautiful granite, basalt from CED, which I'm thrilled about. It went down super easily. We've got 200 by 600 mil rectangles, and it was a joy start to finish. So, but it has to work for our visitors, and we needed a big expansive paved area to showcase the furniture, but also I wanted to incorporate as much green and growing as I could to show, you know, highlight it and showcase and create the sense of, you know, well, to pique one's imagination, I suppose, to get the furniture in, but to also have it in a garden surrounding. I hope it makes sense.
Well, the furniture is big.
Yeah.
Bold stuff, it is. But one doesn't outweigh the other. And the usual tendency when furniture, or in fact, stone goes on display is that you showcase the stone, but you don't make it a home /garden. You make it a house with a big patio or big furniture on a big patio, if that makes better sense to you. So you've flipped that on its head and said, no. We're going to make the furniture and the stone a lot sexier by putting in less of this and more of this, which photosynthesizes. And there's almost like when you sit down at a board meeting, I don't want to speak on behalf of CED or anybody else, but I think if I was the managing director of that company, much to their credit in brackets now, based on, you'll see it at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/sideshow.com. I'll have the photographs up there, one with myself and Butter, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But whoever made that call and agreed with you probably should get a medal. And if there's somebody listening to this who is going to display stone or garden furniture at another garden show, I would be saying they got to call you and whatever you say they should do, because it is sublime butter. And I can't BS the listeners.
No.
Because if it's not that, they'll call me a fraud or a charlatan. So,
well, it's all about mass and void, isn't it? As designers, we have a duty of care to get the balance right, don't we? And particularly as garden designers, we've got a sort of double responsibility. We've got to care for our green and growing matter, but also create purposeful space, usable, purposeful space with some imagination. So, you know, I had my footprint. I chose my furniture. I did the design around the furniture that I knew would sit happily in the space created. There's enough room to circulate around. There are four entrances in and out of the stand. So I think it flows. I think it really works. The L-shaped kitchen at the back. I think we put some antique mirror behind it to gain more reflection and light into the space, so that it's an area of interest and a pleasing place to be. We want it to be a really welcome place to be. So that's what we're all about.
I'm going to sidetrack here slightly, because you strike me as the kind of person who, I hope you're not going to laugh at this, and I know I've got cliches as far as you'd be concerned listening to this at home, but you strike me as the kind of person who used to take rose petals and put it in a jam jar and make perfume when you were, a girl, or as I sometimes suggest and note with my own daughter, on an alternate but parallel daydreaming universe, she goes out looking for the little people playing music underneath the flowers. Was that you when you were growing up?
Yeah, I think I grew up on a farm in the country outside of Baltimore on the East Coast, and I had just the dreamiest childhood. And I come from a long line of very, very creative gardeners, and I didn't know I had it in me until I got to this country and I owned my first ever garden, and it suddenly became very clear that I had a real interest in the green and growing. Sure, growing up in the country, I played in the stream for hours and hours and hours, and in the hayloft, and you know, with the ponies and stuff. But you lose that as you're sort of transitioning from youth to adult, and it's really incredible to have found that back again, and have a avenue or an outlet for that kind of creative expression within nature. So I feel so lucky. I mean, hashtag love my job. I feel like I am the luckiest girl in the world, actually. So,
do you remember the first garden you ever made as, inverted commas, Butter Wakefield
Inc.? Garden design? Mm. Gosh, I've created a few, I have to say. They do each and every one hold a special part of my heart, but my first ever, not sure, actually. I suppose the house that I live in now and the garden I've created there will forever be kind of it for me. It's just because you look at it every day, you tend it every day. Well, I haven't tended it in weeks because I've been here, but you know what I mean. And I think the garden you create for yourself is very special, isn't it?
Well, that was going to be my second question.
I'm
then.
Sorry.
No. It's all right. Well, I was going to ask you, what makes a Butter Wakefield garden? I hear people sometimes say, oh, well, she always puts a little bit of this in, or it has to have one of the, that's her signature piece. And I'm going, really? Do you have a one of them, or is it, no, it's more,
no,
it's an
I
emotion?
Think, yeah, well, I think it's very client-led. You know, I've got to follow my brief. But I don't have a formula, that's for sure. I know that every garden I create is different just by the nature of it, and the clients are also different, and the houses and the architecture all play a crucial role in the design process. So, but I do like a clip shape, Peter. I can't get around it. I am one for Here I've got some clip taxus. You know, I do love a bit of a clip form and then beautiful sort of overflowing planting in and around. If I were to say that's kind of my signature thing, I'd say that's probably it, actually.
Well, if I was to take your own garden, and you said you haven't seen it in a couple of weeks, I'm gathering what you're trying to say, or to translate it for those listening at home, is you allow into your design that your garden is allowed to grow a little bit wild,
yeah.
Maybe, as versus if a Bux's hedge hasn't been cut in, I'll say, 17 months, just for a random fictitious number, or 17 weeks, it looks uncouth or uncared for.
Mm.
Is that what you're getting?
Well, I think maintenance is the critical ingredient, isn't it, to the success of a good garden. And mine's just been neglected a bit. But I, as you're implying, I don't mind it looking a little bit scruffy, because I think it's that verdant new growth that is the excitement, that is our springtime here in this country. And, you know, it's, I suppose, clip it off straight away, but then you lose that little magic moment. So I don't mind if we're a little bit scruffy, and we are a bit scruffy at home. I have to say we are looking a little tatty, but, you know, nothing a lawn mow and a little bit of a tidy up won't sort reasonably quickly.
There was a set of gardens that I used to go visit, and they used to close for 6 months of the year because they were predominantly herbaceous, because they didn't want people to see the untidiness. The gates would be locked on it, and it used to drive me spare, because I wanted
Sad.
To well I wanted to see it as a kid. I wanted to see it in with its hair messy,
in decay a bit, and a little bit full blown. Yeah, I think that all portions of the growing cycle are fascinating, and you know, there's nothing more exciting than when you begin to see some fresh shoots coming up from the ground in February. But equally, the autumn turn is just as pleasing, and the winter months where you just have the bare bones of the garden, again, there's so much joy to be had in the change. It's all about the contrast, isn't it? You know, seeing the changes. I mean, I could never, for instance, live in a country where it was warm all year, you know, temperate all year round. It would drive me nuts. I mean, ring on the change, because that's what, you know, that's what is the exciting moments in the year for us gardeners.
I always say, though, you know, when it's been raining, when it's been bone dry, my apologies, for like 9 weeks, and then all of a sudden that soft rain, like a pop video, and you can almost hear the lawn going,
relief.
A pint of Guinness, this is...
Smells that come with, I know it... I know, it's a wonder, actually. I'm in wonder of nature and the way it responds with a tiny bit of help. You know, it responds so gratefully, doesn't it?
I'm going to say something, because you've been smiling the whole time I've been talking with you. And before I came up here, I passed you. You were standing on your own with a hose in your hand, and you were smiling.
Gosh, I'm so blessed with...
I thought it was just me.
Oh, it was seeing you, Peter. It was. It absolutely was.
No, but, I didn't mean that. I meant I thought I was the only person who was eternally happy. But, but I'm not on my own.
No. I'm just grateful. Gosh, I've had a really good shake, actually, in my little life. And I've got... it hasn't always gone my way, life, but mostly it has. And when it hasn't, I've learned... one learns the most about, you know... how to cope with, you know, sadness and distraction and dismay and disappointment. That's when you learn, and that's when you grow. But on the whole, if you turn it round, there's always something positive you can get out of it. And I'm really lucky. I feel so blessed that I am as happy as I am. And it's probably because I spend a lot of time outside, I imagine.
Do you have a bad day, or rephrase you, what makes a day bad for you? It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a monetary negative, or somebody breaks one of the heels in your shoes, or puts beans near your eggs, because that drives me absolutely bananas.
Does it? Okay, yeah, good, no, to, know.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
to know.
Yeah,
good to know.
For ever having breakfast. I just don't like beans near my food.
No,
it's just like
no
this.
Way beans.
Yeah,
stay
just,
on your side of the plate.
Or just somebody else's plate. Better,
entirely.
Yeah.
I find when... people are discourteous. I think that's, I mean, for instance, you go to the trouble to give a client what the client asks for, and there's no return sense of gratitude. I find that kind of, how hard is it to say thank you? You know, I find, you know, someone excused it away, oh, they're just busy businessmen or women. And I'm like, you know what, that's, A, I don't think that's, you know, acceptable. And B, how long does it take to say thank you? What, 2 seconds?
I'll put one back to you. Mm. I built a garden which was 7 figures. And to this day, I've never met the person that I made it for. For those of you listening to this at home, the point I make is that the money isn't the objective. I could have made an origami elephant out of a cornflakes box to not see the person smile.
Yeah,
at the end of it, don't get me wrong, my bills were paid and I was able to pay the tax on my Jeep, etc., etc. But as an individual, I think if you said to me, what were my career downs, I would list that as one of them.
Yeah,
are you one of them?
Oh, so one of them. I think it's a very personal service that we offer as garden designers. You're in and out of people's homes. You have a very personal relationship with them, I feel. And if, to me, as you say, the build goes incredibly smoothly and the plants all go in and thrive and they're happy and they tell you they're happy, that's what it's all about. That human connection is what it's all about. And that's I think what we're missing a lot of the time in our everyday lives. We're missing that, you know, that crucial bit of, you know, here and now and you and me and thank you and I'm so grateful and have a cup of tea and, you know, all those little tiny things that individually don't really add up. But, you know, if you lump them all together, it's what, you know, fires me up, as it were.
You'll have to wait until I finish this bit. But when you watch Jerry Maguire, and I don't mean that you had me at a hello moment, are you that in real life?
Which moment is that, Peter?
I don't know. I don't know. There's the bit where he weeps a lot, and then he gets drunk and goes off the rails. That's probably.
Yeah, that would be a little bit of that. I cry a lot. I do cry a lot. I do. I move to tears a lot by all sorts of things. But I, I am not afraid to show my emotion. That's for sure. I think that's one. Why not? Bad or good? You know, let it out there.
Do you take your gardens and your work to heart?
Oh, yeah. God, it's everything for me.
If I said a bad comment about your garden, would you?
I'd be gutted.
Oh, would you?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I take what I do seriously. And I mean, one's peer's approval is rather crucial, isn't it? And feedback. I mean, I had James Alexander Sinclair on the garden and the other day, and I said, okay, come on, tell me what you think about this. He goes, it's a bit blocky there. And I thought, you know what, you're right, but I did it because I really wanted to create a sort of entrance way just there. Good criticism, good or bad, is always good, but I definitely take it a little bit personally when it's not good.
We should probably talk a little bit about who you're working with and what they do. Which I think is fair.
Yes.
You didn't take the check. I think you put yourself beside a product which is pretty high class. It's like becoming the next Arsenal manager, isn't it? A little bit.
I think this is the best outdoor furniture there is. Gaze Burville, I think, creates the craftsmanship, the quality, the design integrity, the oak, the sustainability. I mean, he ticks all the boxes. Gaze Burville ticks all the boxes for me. And they're friends. And when I can supply the product, I do. I'm a believer. I drink the Kool-Aid.
Is it expensive?
It's pretty expensive. You know, if you're lucky, you get one or two clients a year. If you're lucky that, you know, it's right for them, both monetarily and, I mean, as you said earlier, it requires space, doesn't it? You need a bit of space for the furniture. But there are very affordable bits and pieces. They do a very affordable Levity range, which is beautiful, but less big, less chunky, but equally beautiful.
You can't see this at home, and you can't say this, so I'm going to ask you, if I wanted to buy the one that we're sitting on at the minute, would it cost me more than 10? You can nod.
It would cost you about that.
Right. Okay. It's 10 grand for a suite of furniture.
Well, you said the one you were sitting on.
Yeah. Oh, that's just one bench, is it?
I believe this is a pair we've got here. And that is
wow
for one, I believe. No, that's for a half. That's for half of this.
Sorry, I'm sitting on a 20.
No, you're sitting on a 10.
Right, so if I want to look at somebody on the far side of the table, it's 20 and a half grand.
Yeah.
But it's genius, isn't it?
It's genius. I mean, it's worth every penny. And also, it just stands the test of time. I supplied this furniture in a few gardens probably 15 or 20 years ago, and it looks amazing still. And what's more, they offer an incredible refurbishment service as well. So they'll collect the furniture, refinish it for you, and bring it back to life if it's looking a bit tired, and return it.
The other product placement deserved, rightly, because I wouldn't be here without them, as you at home listener rightly aware. And for those of you who have given the high fives over the last while, it's very much appreciated. I think I've done the sideshow trips on sometimes a really, really, really tight shoestring budget going back a few years ago. And to know that I can afford... Did you know that the ticket from Gatwick to Victoria Station, it's 20 quid.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's ridiculous.
Outrageous.
I've got 20 quid, I haven't even bought a ham sandwich yet. That's 20 quid down the tubes. So they've covered all of that. You've got a relationship with C.D. Stone.
I do indeed.
How do you know them?
Well, Giles has been a friend and a supplier for many years. And, he has completely come up with the goods here for this. And, you know, he's easy to talk to. He'll tell you how to bed it. He'll tell you how to point it. You know, it comes with sort of, it's the full package, as it were. So I'm eternally, you know, we're nowhere without our suppliers, are we? Let's face it. So, I mean, I've got to thank CED and Giles personally, and also, if I'm allowed to, there are a lot of other people I'd quite like to thank as well. My contractor, Gareth Kinsella, and Frost Landscaping and the trees, etc., etc. So I have a long list if you care to hear some more of my special thanks. But CED is, you know, we're here to talk about my beautiful basalt, so I'm away we go.
I'll get into the whole thing with Giles on another episode, and I'll tell you how it all happened. But yeah, they've boys done good. I'll go back to almost a Jerry Maguire full circle story. You seem to surround yourself with equally pretty cool people at all times. The last time that we met, no, it was last year actually. I think we were at the perennial party, and I walked in and you were standing with Mark Gregory, former guest of the show. You're consistent with hanging around with legendary people. You've got like a secret handshake going on with them. It's like, you've got that Stones album on vinyl as well. Yeah. Do you want a pint?
I've been so lucky, actually, in my career, because I have made good friends with a lot of very good people. And Mark Gregory is, of course, one of them.
Yeah.
I do seek out the ones who I find, you know, the most lovely. And whether they're the coolest or not, I don't know. But
he's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. But cool's not necessarily everything. I just like good and honest and upright. You know, that's what I'm looking for.
Well, cool is one thing. But as I said to Basson, you know, you've got to be able to walk the walk as well. Basson walks the walk. Gregory can do it, you do it. I like that. Yeah, I like hanging around with cool people, you know. Yeah, you're most welcome. For those of you listening at home, but where was I? At Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/sideshow.com. Put you directly in touch with Butter and also the lads doing the furniture and CED Stone. If you get a minute, give me a high five, tell them I sent you. Be appreciated. Butter, thank you so much. Real pleasure.
Pleasure, Peter. Thank you. I hope you have a wonderful time. I mean, it's a joy always to be here and be surrounded by the best of the best, isn't it?
Better believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.